Malia Obama made waves this week when the White House announced she'd be attending Harvard University after she graduates from high school, but not right away. She plans to take a gap year before she joins Harvard in the class of 2021.
So what is a gap year? Do they serve a purpose for all students, or are they only an option for wealthy students? Well, joining us now to explain the gap year is Ethan Knight. He's the executive director and founder of the American Gap Association. Ethan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Ethan, to start out, how do you define what a gap year is?
Well, we define a gap year as an experiential semester or year on, and we're doing the Richard Nixon quotes here to define on, because it's not a year off, it's really a time to engage. What we say is most students do it between their freshman year of college and their senior year of high school, and it's intended to basically deepen personal, practical, and professional awareness for your future.
What are some of the things people tend to do during that gap year if they're using it not as a year off, but as you say, a year on?
Yeah, it really ranges. I mean, I've seen students volunteer with animal rehabilitation centers in Bolivia. I've seen students focus on a program in Montana, for instance, that works with outdoor adventure activities and a little bit of personal development.
Now, I can see some parents being a little worried that, sure, if my kid takes one of these gap years, they're going to, you know, not want to go back. That'll be it, and they won't want to go to college. Does that happen?
You know, it happens, but probably no more so, or I guess probably certainly less so than the average high school graduate. Our data right now that we have, and Malia Obama's announcement actually came quite serendipitously because we had just completed our big 2015 National Alumni Survey and found that 90% of students are back at college within a year of completing their gap year. And that was corroborated by a few other studies that had been done before by Carl Hagler and Ray Nelson.
One concern a lot of people point to about the gap year is that it's something that's really available to a certain, maybe more privileged group of people, people who can afford to have a year unpaid off between high school and college. Is it really limited that much, or are more people able to do something like this?
It's a great question. It's not really limited that way. I think there are programs that are available for young people who do have more resources. What I'll also say, though, is in that same study that we did, I guess another one, we found that almost $3 million were given away by programs, but you have to ask the program. They're sort of sourced internally as a scholarship. But that being said, a lot of students are taking a gap year in a more independent fashion. If you're looking to do a gap year, for instance, AmeriCorps has NCCC, which actually pays for you to live, and then at the end of it gives you a what they call a Siegel Award, which is just over $5,700 to go towards your academic future. So there's a variety of programs that are available, and you know, honestly, a lot of organizations are really working to add more financial aid resources to their offerings so that they can increase the diversity on programs.
So it seems as though we've been talking more and more about gap years over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Is it just because of Malia, or is there really something happening that this is taking off in this country?
I'd like to say it's taking off. You know, I think Malia Obama certainly propelled us forward probably several years in terms of our growth trajectory. But students have been asking about gap years forever. You know, not forever, but in the UK, 30% of students are taking a gap year. We estimate 1 to 2% are taking a gap year here in the U.S. Our own data shows 23% increase in the number of students who are taking a gap year between last year and 2015. I guess 2014 and 2015 is what the data shows.
Talking to Ethan Knight from the American Gap Association, looking at the concept of the gap year, a year off between leaving high school and starting college, a year not really off, though, he says, a year doing some kind of experience, life-enhancing experience. So, Ethan, let's take that student now. They're a high school senior. They've been through the gap year. What benefits do they get as a college student? How does that help them?
Students are graduating on time, more typically. Our recent survey said that students are graduating, you know, an average within 4 years at their college. I think fundamentally, though, you know, you could talk about GPA, which is improved. You could talk about academic involvement, which is improved. But at the end of the day, I think fundamentally what's so powerful about the gap year is it provides an opportunity before you have to start accruing college debt, before you have to start picking a major and choosing some sort of career decisions, to really reflect and say, what do I want to do? I like to think about it as an opportunity to nibble around the edges of a potential career, and so that, by the time you're done with your gap year, you have a deeper sense of who you are and what you want to define as success for you. I mean, I think most young people wouldn't be able to tell you what their definition of success is. They'd probably, you know, do as best as they're able to share maybe their parents' definition or that of their peers, or maybe what they pick up in the media. Quite frankly, when I speak at high schools, the most common answer is, you know, some gesticulation with fingers rubbing together that involve, you know, basically means money is the number one reason what, you know, what they define as success. And when I challenge that, I tend to get a lot of blank faces. They just haven't really put the time or thought into it. And one of the things that I like to think about is, you know, in our culture, we have this process, this college application process, which for many is as close to a rite of passage as they'll have in any other semblance of their life, where it's the first time they've really taken a look back at their life and are having to present who they are and what they're about to an outside person. And a gap year really just adds a whole fifth dimension to that experience of that rite of passage.
You know, we hear a lot about how school these days is really stressful. There's a lot of testing. It's high stakes. Kids can be really overprogrammed, especially as they head into those later college year or high school years where they feel like they really have to get it together and put a good college portfolio together. Do you think that's part of it, that students are a little burned out by the time they graduate?
Well, yeah, the data would say yes. The two most prominent reasons that our research are showing that students are taking a gap year are number one, a desire to know more about themselves, which I think speaks to that rite of passage element. And then secondarily is burnout from the competitive pressures of getting into college. And I think the stakes are just perceived to be so high for the college that you get into that oftentimes it's more about, you know, how you can present yourself rather than who you really are. And I think, you know, college admissions representatives, I think Rick Weisbord from the Harvard School of Graduate Education recently wrote a report called the Turning the Tide Report that was really an attempt to draw the circle more around, less around sort of academic achievement. Not that that should be excluded, but more about character, who you are, the compassion and the caring that goes into your fellow human.
What do colleges and universities think of a gap year? Because I could see anything from, great, we're getting students after they've had this year, they're better rounded, their priorities are more set, ranging from there to, great, all these slackers procrastinating for a year. What are you seeing from the world of higher education?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, the schools who have the lower acceptance rates, I think they have the luxury to be able to sort of delay a student for a year from their perspective to take a gap year. It's really the more public institutions that I think it's more a lack of the sort of the ability. It's a lack of manpower, I think, is really what it is to say, okay, you're going to do something other than the quote-unquote normal pathway here. And so by and large, schools are typically saying, you know, we really like it. And increasingly what I'm seeing, for instance, there's a school out of Asheville, North Carolina, Warren Wilson College. They have a scholarship set up that's for $16,000 for a student who has completed a gap year. They call it a leadership scholarship because they know that a student who's taken a gap year is going to perform that much better both academically and within the overall structure of the student body. There's another school, Florida State University, that just recently announced $50,000 in $5,000 scholarships are going to students to encourage them to go take a gap year. In essence, what they say is, apply to Florida State, tell us you're going to take a gap year, and we'll give you $5,000 to go take that gap year.
Are there a lot of scholarships like that, or are those still kind of the exceptions?
Those are still the exceptions. What I'm seeing is an increase in the number of those exceptions. We hope to make them more exceptional and less of an exception.
For people who aren't necessarily college-bound, are things like that AmeriCorps project you mentioned or other things available so that they do something maybe before they meet that necessity of finding that job out of high school?
It's interesting because we are seeing an increase in the offerings of programs that are more, I guess you could call them vocational exploration. And I think, you know, in the gap year community, I'd be surprised if you hear everyone say that college is the exact destination for everyone to go. I think by and large, we can definitely say college has some very significant upsides and pretty much everyone should do it. But that being said, I still think you're going to see a lot more students in the future who are going to choose a more vocational pathway. And so the opportunity to explore what that might look like is it's a really phenomenal opportunity that takes a little bit of coaching, a little bit of guidance, but frankly, you kind of have to, you know, experiment. It's like, try and then fail and then try and fail, and hopefully eventually you find something that you love. Case in point, there was a student group that I had a couple years ago. They were down in Guatemala, and a hurricane had come through. A student ended up supporting some of the local homestay families that they were there. The student was fine, got to say that. But as a result of that experience, the student found very clearly that they wanted to be a firefighter. They had never explored that possibility before, but eventually came to clarity that that was what they wanted to do. And sure enough, at the end of the program, chose to go pursue firefighting, which is, I can't think of a more laudable career.
We're talking right now with Ethan Knight about gap years and why it might be beneficial for students to take them. Malia Obama made headlines this week for her decision to take a gap year before starting Harvard University in 2017.
We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Did you or your kid take this gap year between high school and college, or is this a conversation you're having right now about next year's school year or maybe non-school year? Do you think they're maybe only available for wealthier families? Is it something that you wish you had access to? Do you have a question for our guest about what's out there, what kind of things people do with this year, and what the benefits and maybe drawbacks are? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation about gap years, the year some people take off between graduating high school and starting college. The White House announced this week that President Obama's oldest daughter, Malia, will be taking that so-called gap year before starting school at Harvard.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Gap year, good idea, bad idea? Did you do it? Do you wish you'd done it? Are you talking about doing it right now if you're headed into college next year? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Ethan Knight is with us now. He's the executive director and founder of the American Gap Association. And we go to our callers now. Andy joins us in Madison. Andy, hi. Hello, Andy. You're on the air. Nope. I am afraid we can't hear him. Maybe, Andy, call back when you've got some better reception. And Ethan, well, we get some more callers on the line here. What kind of planning do you need to put into a gap year so you make sure that you're not just kind of couch surfing for a year?
Yeah, you know, most students start the process around the same time as they're looking at college. And frankly, the complexities shoot up quite significantly so if you're looking international. And one of the encouragement that we often offer is start with looking at a more structured program so that you can kind of have a few training wheels, a couple bumpers to make sure that you don't learn lessons too hard the hard way. You know, I think that the classic, you know, conundrum here is that you don't know what you don't know until someone teaches you. And so our encouragement is usually to start with more structure and work your way down to less. But in terms of planning, you know, I think it's a good idea. You should do it with parents. The student should lead the way. It needs to be experientially motivated. I think that's one of the core principles of a gap year, is that it's experiential education. And then, you know, it's oftentimes important to look at budget and timelines. I think one of my favorite things to do is to think about it in terms of skills. What do you want to practice? Is there a hobby that could potentially be a career? Can you scaffold that on to somebody else who's already doing that and see, and pick up what you can and then bring it back home and say, maybe I can parlay that into a career through college and further study.
We'll go to a caller now with Philip in Racine. Philip, hi.
As a military retiree and an educational retiree who has had two Fulbrights and several international experiences, I would like to generalize the gap year. I have found that high school graduates are perhaps at the most energetic and idealistic part of their lives, and many of them, as myself earlier, do not have a full grasp of what is ahead of them. And the idea of being able to volunteer for 2 years, whether it's Peace Corps or some other nonprofit entity, locally or abroad, to give them a chance to grow up, to meet other peoples and cultures, and have varied experiences, thus giving them an entitlement so that they have a better idea of what they're going to do and can be more direct in their career.
Philip, thanks so much. Interesting idea, Ethan. Philip says not one, but two gap years in effect, but let's have it be for some kind of nonprofit or volunteer service.
You know, it's interesting. There's a movement out there called the Service Year Alliance. It was formerly known as the Franklin Project. It's not a new idea to hit the States, but you know, certainly practiced in other parts of the world where the idea is between the ages of 18 to 28 to encourage a nationally endowed or at least supported year of service. I think it's something that has, it certainly has merit, and I'd love to see it get more traction.
And thanks to Philip for that call. Appreciate that. We're going to go to Tanya now in Milwaukee. Hi there.
Hi, this is Tanya.
And what did you want to share?
Oh, I just wanted to share that I have three children, and the first two did do that gap year. It gave them a chance to get out of the peer pressure, but that whole peer identity of high school. And when they got out on their own, they were able to shed some of that and get to know who they were as an individual, what their likes, what their dislikes were, what they were good at. It really just helped to clarify them. And like one went into medical, one went into engineering, and it just really streamlined their life and their choices. It also helped encourage them not to ever give up on college because they certainly didn't want to do the job that they were doing for the rest of their lives. They wanted that degree. Our youngest one also went to college, and he's doing fine, but it took him a while to realize what he wanted to do because he was still, you know, you go right from high school to college, you're still that, have that student mindset. You're not really thinking like with a grown-up head. And that was what I wanted to say.
Really interesting, Tanya. Thank you so much for sharing that. So there's an endorsement, Ethan, for a gap year about getting out of sort of the peer bubble and thinking like an adult, learning how to do that over the course of a year. Do you think that shift in thinking is something that typically happens?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think in many ways we build our identities based on the environments that we're surrounded by. And if you only know one or a few small environments, not to say that, you know, New York City is a small environment, but New York City relative to the rest of the world, that's a small environment. And so I think a large part of it, you know, the benefit that I see is looking out at the world and seeing how do they do this thing called life? What do they value? You know, Latin American culture oftentimes, and this is a gross sort of generalization, but values family over other types of, you know, maybe American values where it might be more about career or success in terms of financial terms. You know, the other thing, too, that I think about it in terms of is what this cultivates inside of us is a sense of resilience. You know, that's how I think as we look at how the human brain is wired, we're learning a lot more about neurodevelopment, neural pathways. And what we're learning is that human brains develop the most fully when we are running aground with stuff and actively grappling with things that are a struggle. And what will happen, you know, inevitably is that that's going to add to the clarity for how you want to live your life. I love the comment of, you know, being very clear that she didn't, or her children didn't want to continue the jobs that they'd had before. They got a much clearer sense of what they wanted to get into.
Thanks, Tanya. We're talking about the gap year between high school and college with Ethan Knight from the American Gap Year Association. Back to our callers with Andy in Madison. Andy, hi.
Hi. I'm the chairman of a board of a small not-for-profit. I'm a provider of gap year experiences. I work with an organization called Amigos de las Americas. And we work with Tufts right now, and they have a gap year experience. I think Tufts is now mandating a gap year experience for all of their students, which I think is what a phenomenal shift that is. But the comment that I wanted to make was that I think a lot of us have heard about helicopter parenting and parents that have so taken care of their children that their children aren't really quite prepared to deal with the real world. And I firmly believe that the gap year experience is an antidote to that and really helps mature our young adults.
Andy, thanks a lot for the call. Ethan, as we wrap up, some advice to consider for maybe that parent and that kid out there thinking about the gap year.
Well, I think it's certainly worth exploring. You know, I think there's the best thing that I could encourage you to do is sit down and have a conversation with the parents. You know, as I said before, sitting down and recognizing that the student needs to lead the way. I can't count the number of times I've had parents say that they really want their children to do a gap year, but you know, the student, maybe because the parent is saying it's something worth exploring, chooses to look the other way. And oftentimes, you know, just because a student goes on to their freshman year in college doesn't mean that they can't take a break, which is what I did, take a leave of absence between freshman year and sophomore year to take a gap year.
Ethan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Certainly. It's my pleasure, and thanks for this important topic.
Talking to Ethan Knight there. He's the executive director and founder of the American Gap Year Association. He joined us to talk about gap years after the news that Malia Obama is going to take a year off before starting at Harvard. You can still share your thoughts and maybe your experiences with the gap year over at the Central Time Facebook page. I want to go back and take a gap year now.
I might have done that as well. It was not a thing when I went to college. I don't think anybody did that.
Yeah, I don't think it ever came up.
Some people took a middle of it, but I don't know if that's quite the same thing.
So anyway, I'm taking a gap year now. I'll be back with you on Central Time May 5th, 2017. Okay, not really. Well, anyway, again, share your thoughts on the gap year. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page and find out more from our guest organization, the American Gap Year Association.